Jitterbug. Jitterbug.
Hello and welcome to the new episode of the My 88 podcast. My name is Wayne Tunks. Sorry there's been a little bit of delay between the last episode and the current one. Life has been very busy, but you know the thing that always makes me feel better, and that is music. I am just such a big music fan, and whenever I get to play it and then talk about it is a very happy day. For this episode, I decided to look at earworms, songs that just get stuck in your head and you can't seem to get them out. And you always hope that it's a song that you like that gets stuck in there, not one of those really annoying songs. All of these songs that I picked today are songs that I've had stuck in my heads over the last few months, all songs that we play on My 88 and songs that I really do enjoy when they get stuck in my head. Often these songs are ones that I didn't know as well before starting at My 88, and now I'm a massive fan. So let's get into the first one, and it is Dead or Alive and Something in My House. There is something in my house. Dead or Alive really were just a lot of camp fun, weren't they? Lead singer Pete Burns, what a great character, but also what an incredible voice. And that song is just so catchy. It certainly was stuck in my head after we played it on a 9 o'clock mixtape on My 88, and it was stuck there for a good amount of time. And I've just really grown to love the song. I think I knew it slightly before, but now just an absolute huge fan. It is, of course, produced by Stockaken and Waterman, who did such great work in the mid to late 80s, but the band themselves did write the song. While making the song, they did butt heads a lot with Stockaken and Waterman. In fact, one of the recordings was wiped by Mike Stock because the words Wicked Queen were used, and he thought that everyone would think the song was about a gay relationship, which obviously, Mike, it was about a gay relationship. But after Mike had sort of left, Pete Waterman was like, well, let's just record it the way you want to record it. And also caused a bit of controversy with the record label because they thought the song was a little bit too harsh, and they also didn't like the music video where Pete Burns was eating a banana. And if you do look at the music video, the little wink he gives to the camera afterwards, he knows exactly what he was doing. It just makes the whole thing even better. It was originally meant to be a Halloween release, but wasn't released until later in the year because of the battles the Dead or Alive were having with their record label. But yet the song did become a hit, a minor hit, but a hit still. It reached 19 here in Australia, 12 in the UK, and was 8 in Ireland. It even got to number 3 on the US dance club charts. It would be the last top 40 hit for Dead or Alive in the UK and the last top 20 hit here in Australia for the band. But a really, really fun song. I love it, and Halloween's coming, so I think I'm going to be listening to it a lot. A lot of fun song. If it's one that you've forgotten about or don't know as well, hopefully you'll go out and have a listen and certainly watch that music video. Next earworm I'm going to feature, and it is The Motels and Only the Lonely. It's like I told you, only the lonely can play. Only the lonely, only the lonely can play. Out of all of the songs on today's podcast, this is probably the one that has been stuck in my head the most and is the biggest earworm for me. Whenever we play this on My 88, it just gets stuck in my head for the rest of the day and the next day and the day after that. I just Love it. Martha Davis's voice is just insane. And I feel like when I was younger and really getting into music, I just didn't appreciate it. I loved Don't Tell Me the Time. I thought it was a good song. But now as an adult, I understand the yearning in her voice. And I certainly understand the lyricism that she has. She just writes the most beautiful words. And I think hearing her talk about this song is possibly why I love it so much. And I'll quote, "It's a song about empty success. It came about while the Motels were experiencing critical acclaim, traveling the world, riding in limousines, and yet I was probably as sad as I had ever had been. I was in a horrible relationship, had not yet recovered from my parents' death. I doubt anyone ever does. The contradiction of these two worlds is where only the lonely lived. Bittersweet." And I really do love that bittersweet note to it, and that just that melancholic feel that it does have. It's such a wonderful song, and the film clip is fantastic as well, directed by Aussie Russell Mulcahy, who made some really great and strange music videos in the 80s. It actually got Martha Davis an American Music Award for Best Performance in a Music Video, and rightly so. This actually song was born when the group was working on a little bit of darker material. So they recorded darker pieces for their anticipated third studio album. However, with the exception of a reworked Only the Lonely, the rest of the songs were shelved because they wanted to make something a little bit lighter. And this survived because I guess it really does go on that border of sounding quite happy, but the message is just that bittersweet tone. And yeah, I just really love it. I think as an adult, we certainly can appreciate these lyrics. Or if somebody's single like me, hello, is this room lonely suddenly? Anyway, it's a great song and I love it with every fiber of my being. Now, my next song that I'm going to choose for my earworms, it is Till Tuesday and Voices Carry. Now, out of all of the songs on this list today, it's the one that I did know the best beforehand. I've always been a big fan of this song. I think I heard it again about 15 years ago and just became obsessed with it, bought it on iTunes. See, now time really means nothing to me anymore. I'm like, when was I really into iTunes and buying all of these classic 80s songs? I don't remember. But anyway, when that was happening, I got this song and would listen to it a lot. And then I feel like I've rediscovered it again by working here at My 88. And it really is a beautiful tune. I think before I just really enjoyed it. Now it's that whole thing. We've all had bad relationships and we hear these songs and we go, yeah, God, I remember that. You preach, Amy Mann. And what a fantastic singer Amy Mann is. Just really sold this song. At the time, we were not getting a lot of songs where women were really pouring their heart out like that on the radio. So it was really loved to hear this song. And it starts off quite simply. At first, he's just telling her, hush, hush. And by the end, she is screaming the words, he said, shut up. It is just so powerful. And then if you watch that great music video that goes along with it, you really see the story. And then that end image where she stands up at the opera and starts singing it and he's got his head down. It's just so powerfully done. There are so many great music videos in the 80s, but that is right up there as one of my absolute favorites. The song is just so good. I like to listen to it and sing along with it all the time. It was Till Tuesday's debut single and did become a hit worldwide. Here in Australia, it reached 15 and got to that in Canada and 8 in the US. Didn't chart in the UK, bizarrely. And then we didn't really get to hear much more of them here in Australia, but I know so many people loved Till Tuesday over the years. And then certainly Amy Mann in the 90s had a great career. I remember just buying her solo album because I loved Till Tuesday so much. What a great talent, and certainly is an earworm. I may have just put that in your head for the rest of today. Now here's our next earworm, and it is Sinead O'Connor and Mandinka. Mandinka came from Sinead O'Connor's debut album, The Lion and the Cobra. It wasn't the first single that went to the critically acclaimed Troy, which has an amazing music video if you haven't seen it. That song got to 8 in the Netherlands, which was amazing, but didn't chart anywhere else. Next came Drink Before the War, which didn't chart, and then Mandinka saw her get into the charts in many more countries, including her native Ireland, where she got to 6, New Zealand got to 18, 17 in the UK, didn't do as well here in Australia, got to 39. But still, I remember hearing it at the time and thinking, hey, this is a cool song. But I didn't really get into Sinead O'Connor until Nothing Compares to You, which is when I feel like most of the world got into her as well. And I think I forgot about this song, and I've heard it a few times over the years and enjoyed it and went, oh, this is a good song. But I think for me, it's that combination of playing it on my 88 and also getting her autobiography last year for my birthday. Shout out to my good mate, Jacinta Moses, who bought that for me. And I read it and just really loved it. I read it so very quickly, couldn't put it down. In fact, it was during COVID lockdown. I just read it and absorbed it and just loved all the stories. I would highly recommend it. She has had a very troubled life and really has some amazing stories to tell. The stuff about her and Prince meeting and it going really badly, I could not put that down at all. So certainly recommend reading it. But it just really made me go back and listen to more of her music again. And Mandinka is the one that really struck me. I think my favourite song of hers would be The Emperor's New Clothes, but I've always loved that. And I do love her cover of Success Has Made a Failure of Our Home as well. But Mandinka's gone up to number 2 on my favourite of her tunes. It's got this really great rock edge to it, but it's also a little bit pop because it did get into the dance charts, surprisingly. I don't think it's that dancey, but it got into the dance charts. And it also got her seen by the world. She got to perform on David Letterman. It was her first time on US television. And she got to perform it at the 1989 Grammy Awards. As we know, Sinead had a really great career. And then it ended spectacularly in the US when she appeared on SNL and tore up a photo of the Pope and wanted to talk about sexual abuse, something that she had happen to her as well. Very, very important topic, and people did not take it very well at all. I think in hindsight, everyone's kind of gone, people are a little bit harsh on Sinead O'Connor, but at the time, they were very, very harsh, and she was kind of driven out of the US, which is really sad. She's a talented woman who's had so many great songs over the years, and I really love this one. I just sing along. Her voice is just ridiculous, and one of those distinctive voices that when you hear it, you just know that it is her. It is such a great song, and I love celebrating it today, and whenever I hear it, it gets stuck in my head for days. Let's move on to my next earworm, and it is Suzanne Vega and the wonderful Marlena on the Wall.
Marlena watches from the wall, her mocking smile says it all. She records the rise and fall of every soldier passing, but the only soldier now is me. I'm fighting things I cannot see. I think it's called my destiny, but I am changing. Marlena on the Wall.
I guess this song really has been stuck in my head because I even featured it on the latest episode of my other podcast, You, Me, the 80s and the 90s, available from download anywhere you get good podcasts. It was our classic theme for this week with songs starting with M, and it really is just a great song, and it does get stuck in my head. I just repeat the lines, Marlena on the Wall, over and over again in my head. It's probably going to happen for the rest of the afternoon. Now, the song is the debut single for Suzanne Vega, though it was a slow start. The song originally flopped in her native US, and she wouldn't become more known until her second album and its lead single, Luca, another earworm. In other countries, the song did have a slow start as well. In the UK, it originally hit 85, but when it was re-released in 86, it did hit 21 in the UK, 9 in Ireland, and it only got 39 in Australia, which is, again, maybe why I didn't know it as well back then. But as I've gotten older, I've really grown to appreciate the song. So Suzanne Vega really did have a poster of Marlene Dietrich on her wall. She actually explained, and I quote, That was a truthful song. The lines came out of my life. But you want to be careful too, because you don't want to get into, oh, my boyfriend left me. I have a problem with specifically confessional songwriting. I think you have to craft it in some way. I don't think you can come on stage and blurt out your innermost feelings. My niece can blurt out her innermost feelings. She's 4 years old. I wouldn't want to pay $25 to go see her do that. You need to put it in a form. Although it is truthful, you have to give it some respect or a certain kind of dignity by putting it in a kind of form, because these people are not my friends. Well, you can tell that's an old quote because $25 for a concert, wow, that was a very long time ago. But yeah, it is a really fantastic song. And Marlene Dietrich, what a great icon. And to have her in the song just really is fantastic. But you could really put anything in there. You know, for me growing up, it was Madonna on the wall or Whitney Houston on the wall, or whoever you had on your wall may have been the person that you were confessing your deepest, darkest fears to about being lonely, something, you know, we all experience as kids. And I guess as adults, we experience that as well. But what a really wonderful song. And Suzanne Vega over the years has just done so many great songs. And I really do love her and admire her work. So thank you for joining me for the My 88 podcast today. Just five earworms that I've loved been listening to lately and getting stuck in my head. If you could do me a favor as well, I'm a part of the Stars of Western Sydney Dance for Cancer. So I'm raising money for the Cancer Council of New South Wales by dancing on October 22 at the Blacktown Workers Club with other people from the local area, including the Lord Mayor of Parramatta. You can donate. I've got to raise a lot of money. Head to the pin post for My 88 on Facebook. And yeah, hopefully you can donate some money. That would be really appreciated. I am on air every single weekday morning from 7 to 10 Sydney time. And I hope you will catch me then and on the next episode of the My 88 podcast. Remember to share it with your friends. This is My 88. Tunks out.